Focus with Cassie McCullough on ABC Radio Sydney.
That's right. Now, as we've been saying, this weekend, atheists from around the world were supposed to descend on Melbourne for the 2018 Global Atheist Convention. And among them, some really big names. Salman Rushdie, of course, the author of The Satanic Verses, which, led to him having a fatwa put on him by the Ayatollah Khomeini. Richard Dawkins, the very controversial evolutionary biologist. And also Ben Goldacre, who is the author of the best-selling books Bad Science and Bad Pharma. Now, I say supposed to have been descending on Melbourne because late last year, the Global Atheist Convention 2018 was cancelled. The reason, according to the Atheist Foundation of Australia's website, ticket sales, quote, have been substantially below expectations. In other words, lack of interest. So the question we're asking today is, does atheism matter? James Carlton is the host of the ABC Radio Network's weekly panel on religion and ethics, where he tackles with panache, it should be said, some of the really big questions of the time. James, I've got you here. Good morning.
Good morning, Cassie.
Now, also with us in the studio here in front of me is Dr. Michael Jensen, the rector of St. Mark's Anglican Church in Darling Point in Sydney's East. He's publicly stated that he's very disappointed by the cancellation. Good morning.
Good morning, Cassie.
We'll get to why you're disappointed in just a moment. But, James, somewhat tragically, the theme of this atheist convention was reason to hope. Which, given the results of the most recent census, perhaps were reasonable hopes to have.
They had reason to hope that the number of atheists was increasing, and that gave them reason to hope that they would sell enough tickets. But apparently there wasn't reason to hope that because they didn't. although, you know, there are atheists still coming out. Richard Dawkins will still be coming out in a separate event to Australia, which is at least scheduled for a few months from now. We don't know how the ticket sales are going for that. It'll be interesting to see if they are high or low. I expect they'll be high. The Atheist Convention is a more complex affair. You know, they have seminars here, speakers there. It's like a real convention, like a political party convention. And people don't go to those things anymore.
Is that right? You think that might have been a factor?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Mm. Atheism is like, you know, it's not something you're supposed to spend time doing. Not like religion, which does take work. That's the whole point of being an atheist, is you don't have to go to meetings.
Well, I'm going to come back to you on that because I think some people might disagree with you. But let's hear, Michael Jensen, why you went into print to say that you were disappointed by the cancelling of this. Now, you should have been rubbing your hands with glee.
I, of course, have my problems with the type of atheist that is represented at that convention. I think there's some interesting things to say about them because I know that people who are atheists have problems with the sort of tone that often comes out from Dawkins and co. However,
because why? Because he's particularly dour?
Because it's nasty. It really is contemptuous, nasty, and also people say almost fundamentalist. I would say he picks on the straw man. I think any reasonable person would say that religion sometimes takes malevolent forms. I think that's
give us an example of him being like that.
Oh, I mean, you just have to look at his Twitter account where he just writes off Islam, or he addresses in his book The God Delusion. He tends to take on a very fundamentalist reading of scripture as if that is the norm. And he might be dealing with some American Christians at one level, but he's not dealing with the sophisticated tradition, rational, reasonable tradition of Christian thought, which is an complex and nuanced thing. So he tends to not take religious thought at its most nuanced and complex. I mean, not just tens. He never takes it at its most complex and nuanced.
Mm. It's interesting. I've heard people say that he's a little joyless, you know, that his view of the world is a little black and white without nuance. But it's very reasoned thinking. He might hold that religion has no place in government?
Oh, it's a it's a type of reasoning, and he's welcome to it, and that's partly why I'm really keen for the conference to go ahead. I this kind of conference, because I think reasoning about these ultimate questions is an important thing to have in a society. And it's important because it disciplines us all. Mm. It gives us a kind of competition, isn't it, of ideas. And it's actually good for religious people to have their ideas questioned and challenged. It's good for the society in general. It's good for atheist people to present their ideas and to have them questioned and challenged. And it's when we're apathetic about that that we become, I think, that's when we're at our worst, not when we're passionate about ideas. In fact, so... it's our apathy that's our problem.
Yes. So you're saying really that atheists are their own worst enemies in terms of turning an opinion in some ways, because there are no answers. Let's see what somebody else on this matter thinks. Chris Schott is ambassador for the National Secular Lobby. He's also a former Labor senator and a minister for science. He's joining us from Adelaide, I believe.
Yes, Cassie, yes.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah, great to have you along. We're hearing atheism defined in a few different ways. You're representing the secular lobby. What's the difference?
Well, the secular lobby is based on the principle that there should be absolute separation of the state from religion, and that we should not write laws based on what a particular religion wants to put into law that imposes their religious view on all the rest of us who don't believe in that particular religion or that, and so on. And we have, you know, the debate on the same-sex marriage. We had a Christian lobby group out there absolutely campaigning against it to have the law written, and now they want the law changed so that they get an exemption from being discriminatory against gay marriage couples. Well, the secular lobby, we don't agree with that. At all, and we've put our submission into the Ruddock Review to make it clear that what they're after is absolutely not about freedom of religion. What they're trying to do is impose on all of the society their view of religion should be made the law. Now, we're not... Society having a rational and Michael about an open debate in society... Well, that's taken a lot of people about 600 years to bust the control of the Orthodox, in our Western Europe, Christian church. We still, and of course in the Middle East,
I'm going to have to interrupt you there, because this is a kind of bodgy view of history, because of course it's through the 17th century, people like John Locke, a complete Christian, right, writes from biblical principles for the purpose of prospering religion about the secular idea. The secular idea is not to keep the state free of religion, but actually to keep religion free from state interference. That's kind of axiomatic about the idea.
We're just constitutionally derivative of Great Britain, and in Great Britain, the law is established that the Church of England is the established church, and that's why you can't have a Catholic as the head of state or the King or Queen of England.
What's the relevance?
The relevance is a law has been written that discriminates against people who aren't members of the Church of England. It's simple. We say the law should never be written that discriminates against somebody because of their religion or their non-belief. And our head of state in Australia is can only be an Anglican. In another country,
But this is the point.
All right, Chris.
We support freedom of religion, absolutely, but we also support freedom from religion as well,
which is at the heart. This is an interesting question, I think, in the context of the recent the census, which, as we know, James Carlton showed for the first time that the people saying they have no religion exceeded the next group, which was Catholics. 30% is a big number. Now, also included in that is the growing diversity of people who don't call themselves Christian. In fact, the flourishing of many religions in the country. Given that it's no longer 50% of the population who are Christian, James, can we say that there's an argument for a Christian element to our government, our constitution?
good question. I mean, America has a very quite clear system. A separation of church and state is at the foundation of the Constitution. We come from a British constitutional system where that separation doesn't exist explicitly. And in fact, the history of Australia has been a church with state, and that's evolved into religion with state. The governments, state and federal, especially the federal, gives millions and millions of dollars to religious schools. You know, it's not an illegitimate position for Chris Schott to want that to stop, but to have that stop will take a lot of unwinding, you know what I mean? So now we get to the situation where, as you rightly point out, the largest category in the census is no religion. Now, some of them, many of them, are atheists and agnostics, but that's an active position to have. You'll find a lot of them haven't thought about it enough to know that they're atheist. You know what I mean?
Well, indeed. And I'll come to you in a moment on this, Chris, but I want to ask you, Michael Jensen, you know, from the Anglican point of view, those drop-offs in numbers that we saw in the census, some have linked it to the Royal Commission into institutional responses to child sexual abuse.